Boy, time goes so fast when you're having fun. Here in Cataline, guest hosting the Power Hour for today, Friday, May 28th, we have another wonderful guest coming up, and then at the bottom of the hour, we'll have open lines, and you will be welcome to call in and talk about anything, either something that came up with our guests or something that has been on your mind. Totally open lines, and the number, just so if you want to write it down, is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2444. I went on vacation a couple of weeks ago. It was really nice. Hadn't had one in a while. And sure enough, while I was on vacation, the Middle East situation blew up. That's not a pun, but it is. And it seems like it always is deja vu all over again, what is going on in the Middle East. It seems also like certain forces have a vested interest in keeping this thing going. I'm going to kind of stop there. And in many of the interviews that I've had, I have occasion once again to talk with fascinating people with very interesting backgrounds. And this next guest fits that description to a T. Her name is Azra Nomani. She's an author and a former reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She co-founded the Pearl Project in 2007, which we'll get into in just a moment, as a professor in the practice of journalism in Georgetown University. Today, she's leading the effort with Daniel Pearl. I don't know if you remember, Daniel Pearl was beheaded in the Middle East when he said he was a Jew. Now, this is an unlikely woman who happens to be Muslim, Azra Nomani, who heads up this project. But there's more to talk about with her. She's the author of Standing Alone, An American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam, published by Harper One. So good to have you, Azra Nomani, on the Power Hour. You're talking to Karen Cataline.
Thank you so much, Karen. Glad to be here together with you.
Oh, yeah. It is such a pleasure to talk to you. And I remember so vividly Daniel Pearl, who was no conservative. Daniel Pearl was a liberal journalist. And at that time, and what year was that, Azra, that he was murdered? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
What year was that that happened? Was 2007, was it?
No. It did cut out for a second.
You know what? It's 2002, I guess.
Yeah, it was 2002. Danny had been working at the Wall Street Journal, and he was in Pakistan after the 9/11 attacks to try to, follow the money on the terrorists. And that's when, on January 23rd, 2002, he came to a house that I had been renting in Karachi, Pakistan, with his wife, Marianne. And that was when he set off for the interview, from which he never returned.
Oh. At that point, they were doing a lot of beheadings around that time. They don't do that anymore. It almost always a propaganda war. But, as a Jewish person, I remember vividly when they asked him what his religion was, and he gave up the opportunity to deny his Judaism. Most liberals aren't all that religiously Jewish, but it is a particularly shame. It's not something against the religion to save your life to lie, but there are people today being told to hide your Judaism so you won't get beat up on the street. And this is a travesty. And he did not do that. And then he was beheaded. What I think is so incredibly fascinating. And by the way, you might still be on speaker. Are you on speaker?
No, it's regular now.
Okay, good. If we have trouble hearing you, just stand near a window, Azra. That's what we do.
Okay, sure.
Go to a window. Because
okay,
everybody
great,
has
great,
cell
great.
Phones. Okay. So
Yeah.
What I want to get to first with you is what it was that moved you to be part of something called the Daniel Pearl Project, a Muslim from India who stood up just like Daniel Pearl stood up and said who he was, and then was killed. This kind of courage is phenomenal. What motivated you to do that?
It was friendship. It is friendship to this day that motivates me to stand up for Danny. He was just such a remarkable human being. He was a friend, most of all, in the newsroom. He learned that as a Muslim girl, I hadn't been allowed to go to the high school prom when I was growing up in Morgantown, West Virginia. And Danny said, "We're going to fix that." And he helped me throw my first party at the age of 28, and we called it a Midsummer Night's Prom. Yeah. And I wore this you know, purple velvet bridesmaid's dress that I'd worn for a friend's wedding, and all the guys wore their tuxedos and cummerbunds, and I had my first party, and I had my prom, and that was Danny. You know, he was such a great guy.
Wait.
What's that?
I've never heard that sentence, those words in the same sentence. Speedos and cummerbunds.
No. Tuxedos. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's funny because speedos brings up another point. Is that Danny loved to play volleyball, and that's what I also got to get back in touch with, is I loved volleyball too. And we used to play behind the Lincoln Memorial and the Sam's Court. And again, growing up in a conservative family, I never really was wearing, you know, these speedos and swimsuits and stuff like that. But there I was now playing volleyball in beachwear. And one of the best memories I had with Danny was we found volleyball in Karachi, Pakistan. We found volleyball at this place called Alliance Francaise, and we played volleyball just weeks before he was kidnapped.
So, Azra, as you knew Daniel Pearl, was he religious at all? What was his political leanings from someone who knew him?
Well, you know, he was Jewish, and he was of Israeli ancestry. His grandfather, great-grandfather, had been part of Israel's birth, and his Jewish identity was definitely very important to him. We never talked politics. That's what's so interesting about the modern day. He and I, we didn't talk religion. We didn't talk politics. Like, we were friends, you know, that he got me a good Muslim girl to have my first beer in my life.
he was corrupting you.
Yeah, and then he would break fast with me in the newsroom. I would order samosas from the Indian restaurant, and I would have a break fast party. What's
Eid
that?
The break fast for the Eid al-Fitr. Well, did he fast for Yom Kippur?
Well, it was for Ramadan, which is a month right before Eid,
and I don't know, but
I did go to, you know, services with him a couple times, and it was just really it was a really authentic expression that he had, and as you know, and as you said, he died with those last words: "I am Jewish. My mother is Jewish. My father is Jewish." Because this part of his identity was important to him, and yet he was also beyond, you know, these words that are now being used to define people, right? So your race, your religion, your politics. He was a humanist, really.
Yes. And that you were moved to be part of this and also part of the Muslim reform movement. I just want to say Dennis Prager wrote a great piece about how the Middle East conflict really isn't about land. People think it is. It's not about land. It's about not wanting Jews in that part of the world, because Jews were kicked out of all those parts of the world, and it's religious, it's ideological, and it's bigotry. There's only one Jewish state, and they don't want it there, I don't want to get into that, but I'm just saying that the level of anti-Semitism that we're seeing today, in which people are driving down the street in California and New York and asking people on the street, are you Jewish? And they are saying yes, and they're getting beat up. And I alluded to the fact that you can deny who you are as a Jew in order to save your life, but it is a terrible shame to do so, and Jews won't do it. Any Jew won't do it, and why should they? They shouldn't. I mean, that, you know. So we're talking about Daniel Pearl, whom most people remember, who would not do it and was beheaded. Horrible. Makes the hair stand on my...
The reason I was motivated to stand up for Danny then and till this day is because he was a great human being, and there's nothing in this world that should be used as a lever to destroy another human being because of their identity or for any other reason. You know, there's it's unconscionable, it's immoral. And what I knew in my faith of Islam is that we did have this problem with anti-Semitism, and we still have it today, of course. And Danny was a victim of an ideology within my Islamic faith of extremism. And so I was on that January 23rd, 2002, you know, awakened within myself to stand up. I was awakened to stand up, and to this day, we have to stand up. The Pearl Project exists today because 20 years later, after 9/11 attacks, we face next year the 20th anniversary of Danny's murder, and the four men who were convicted of his kidnapping and murder, the Pakistani courts have decided that they will set them free. They ruled this past year. Yeah, they ruled this past year that they should be free. And so I'm working with Danny's dad and his family on to keep those men in jail. So we started a legal defense fund. We've fought in court. They are still under, quote, house arrest. But, you know, they could be freed on the streets of Pakistan. And so I hope that everybody who's listening will support us. And you can go to DanielPearlProject.org. You can go to DanielPearlProject.org. You can read our investigation that we did at Georgetown University into the details of Danny's case. And then you can support the Legal Defense Fund today, because we have to fight in court in Pakistan. And Danny's parents are amazing. They're so full of grace, and yet they remain vigilant, you know, for their son. Yes. And that's just so profound that it's our duty. I feel it's my duty as Danny's friend to stand with them forever.
Well, you know, you've heard the term two Jews, three opinions. I would never speak for all Jews, but on behalf of myself, I thank you, and I am incredibly I have great respect and awe for your courage in standing. This is a bridge into so many other topics that I've wanted to talk to you about. And so we'll make this a bridge. One of my mottos is, you know, right now everything is related to everything else. You know, if you made a map, there'd be lines going everywhere to these topics that relate to everything else. Now you were talking poignantly, Azra, about ideology. And now we have an ideology that is pushing, that is claiming to be anti-bigotry in order to justify bigotry. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we've got. As long as you hate and despise the right people, you can feel good about yourself in being hateful because they deserve it. This is critical race theory, which you're fighting in education. And in, this is a new religion among the left. Speak about that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so my experience in the trenches of Karachi introduced me to the violence of sectarianism. And today, it's so disturbing to see that this new ideology called critical race theory is breeding a new sectarianism in America. And the Jewish people have to understand that this new ideology puts a target on their back. I'm a Asian, born in India and an immigrant to this country, and this critical race theory put a target on our backs as Asians, because all of us, even when we're minority, when we become inconvenient for the narrative of wound collectors, we become inconvenient minorities, and we become white adjacent, and they whitewash our stories. Yeah,
right.
They whitewash our stories, our families, our people, and ultimately, their anti-white racism is unacceptable also, and that's why, you know, we have to stand up strong against this new ideology of divisiveness and sectarianism, because just like it claimed Danny in Karachi, Pakistan almost 20 years ago, it will claim lives today here. And most of all, it'll claim our children's souls and spirits, and we cannot allow that.
So, so true. I mean, again, I'm hearing in my ear, ding, 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 ding. I wish all of this weren't true, but we must sound the alarm. When you talk about inconvenient minorities, which Jews are as well, I think that among the things that makes you and I so inconvenient to this virulent, hateful socialist communist left is accomplishment and individuality. The fact that we want to be individuals and we welcome being accountable for our own choices and our own lives. They don't like accomplished Asians. They like when Asians are victims, and they're trying to create this narrative that Asians are victims, while on the other hand, they've discriminated against Asians when they accomplish in places like Harvard. I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, the Jewish community knew this discrimination back in the 1920s when they were punished for their, quote, success. And I'll tell you another thing that, as you were just talking about what they resent so much about us, as individuals, what we, just like you said, what we accept is that we own up to anything. And if we've done the wrong, we will own up to it. What we will not accept is shame. And so that is ultimately the psychological trap that we refuse, that they resent so much. And I learned this early on from other parents who were fighting the, efforts to try to denigrate Asians. One of the dads, this dad named Chan, he said to me, be unapologetic and do not allow them to shame you. Yeah. And that is, goes back to your earlier point. Like, if, you know, you're asked if you're Jewish, like, you're, yes, it comes as, it could come as a cost, you know, it could come with the violence, and I do not want that for anyone, for sure, but at least in the spirit, let's just speak about that, like, we have to be unapologetic and stand up for our values and refuse their shame and stand up with pride for our values.
So well put. I remember during the riots, when we saw things we never thought we'd see in this country, we're seeing a ton of things we thought we'd never see in this country. Remember there was a video and it kind of got shut down right away. Another thing we wouldn't see in this country, censorship, of a black person making a white person kneel before him. I mean, it was, if it weren't so tragic and stupid, it would be comical. Like, I'm thinking of the Superman movie, you will kneel before Zod. I mean, what nonsense. After spending a couple years, me too, women shouldn't be subjugated, but now all of a sudden, because she's white, she's subjugating to a black man. All of this reducing people to these ethnic superficialities, I don't believe even the strategists believe it. I believe they're using that, like they used coronavirus, as a tool to erase our individuality and to make us more submissive.
Right. That's your really thoughts. Good way of putting it. Yeah. You know, so what happened is we've been doing this work with the Pearl Project for many years now. And when I saw this affront on our, school system, I fought back in my son's school district in Northern Virginia and then came together with a group of moms from around the country. And we created this organization called Parents Defending Education because we believe that, nobody, especially no child, should get this message that they kneel before another or wear a dunce cap, because of their identity. It's a shaming that should not persist, and we should be very clear that it's dangerous, abusive, immoral, unethical to allow in our schools, especially where children are need to be nurtured. And so from the streets to the schools, we can't allow this corrosive, toxic mentality to exist. And so I encourage everybody to please go to this other website called defendinged.org, because there we're documenting these kind of incidents where, these children are metaphorically being told to kneel, because of their identity. And it all connects to this tale that we're talking about, this awful, arc from January 23rd, 2002 till today. Nobody should have to subjugate themselves, and potentially also lose their lives, right? And their being, because of any divisive, corrosive, toxic ideology. And so it's all connected, and we have to stand up.
It most certainly is. Once upon a time, the left was against that kind of shaming. Once upon a time, the left was for free speech and not for book burning, but they have no shame and they've made an about face on all of those issues. We didn't get enough time to talk about the Muslim reform movement, which also requires great courage, just like it'll require and does require great courage to resist this bullying and intimidation with, masks and vaccines and do as I say. So everybody go to Daniel Pearl Project, www.danielpearlproject.org or www.defendinged.org. And do you have a website or a Twitter handle that you'd like to tell people about?
To Asra Nomani, A-S-R-A, and then Nomani, N-O-M-A-N-I, on Twitter, okay. Facebook, Instagram, and I have open DM, so you can definitely message me if you want. Send me your tips or just your thoughts. But thank you so much for taking this time to talk, Karen.
Thank you, and I just love talking to you. Thank you so much. Asra Nomani. That's a courageous lady. We can learn a lot from her. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have open lines. If you've heard anything that is of interest, if you want to chime in, you can go to 844-769-2944. This is Karen Cataline. We'll be right back.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Spring is here, and so are your allergies. That's why we have Quercetin at a 15% discount, available at thepowermall.com. Quercetin, it's a potent antioxidant to support immunity and normal allergen response. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. 15% off Quercetin, this month only, at thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Well, we are at the last half hour of the Power Hour show today for Friday, May 28th. I'm Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser. And what I love most about talk radio, I love a lot of things about talk radio, is the interaction, the immediacy of talking with everyday people. Yes, I get to interview a lot of great guests, and I enjoy that too. But whenever there's an opportunity to have call in open lines and find out what people are thinking and their stories, I'm always particularly excited. All the shows that I do at Spouting Off, Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, I'm going to do a show right after this one, live, our live call-in talk radio. And that's how I fell in love with talk radio, by calling hosts and spouting off, yes. But there is no other thing like it, no medium like it, that will allow you in real time, I don't think. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of media now where you can call in a phone number and talk immediately to the get to the host or whatever and bring up what is interesting to you. So in the first half hour, I spoke about, so if you'd like to call in, we have open lines from now till the end of the program at the top of the hour. You can call 844-769-2944. And if you disagree and you think I'm cracked, I'm out of my mind, I want to take your call first. But I want to take all calls. Anybody who is interested in calling in and spouting off, I like to say. And the reason that my show is called Spouting Off, by the way, is because spouting off means that you say what's on your mind without self-censorship. Yes, diplomacy can be helpful. Nobody is saying you have to curse or anything like that. But today, we are being constantly monitored and told what you should or can't or ought not to say. The Constitution doesn't guarantee your right not to be offended. You can be offended all you want. It's not that you don't want to be offended. It's that, you know, turn the channel. I'm sure management loves when I say that. But you get to choose. And if you're worth your salt, then you stand up for what you believe, or you allow somebody to change your mind. That's important too. I think with technology the way it is today, it really is training people to not have face-to-face, eye-to-eye, especially with being told to shut down for a year, you know, to think of our fellow citizens as somehow dangerous, as to be on guard, to be defensive, to be suspicious. And talk radio, no wonder the left hates it. Talk radio, which is inhabited by conservative thinkers who like debate. It's inhabited by people who feel strongly about their ideology, not just wanting to be trendy, and who don't mind bucking the, company line. One of the reasons it's so hard to organize conservatives, real conservatives, whatever that means, is because it's like herding cats, you know. And community organizing, that's one thing that Obama had right, that it's difficult, that today in today's politics, the way it's set up, it's important to organize and become a force. And individuals and people who love individual freedom, personal responsibility, and liberty, most times they just want to be left alone. Just let me live my life. I don't want the government involved in everything I do. I don't want, this is what individualists say. I want to have the blessings of liberty to live my life and take responsibility for my choices. This has nothing whatsoever to do with committing crimes against other people and them and taking away their rights to do that. And we know that that's how our self-government was founded. It was founded that people give their consent to be governed so that they can have those blessings of liberty protected. But never in my lifetime did I see, and I'm reiterating what I said at the top of the beginning of the first hour, a jump the shark moment when almost all Democrats, pretty much all Democrats, marched in lockstep, regardless of the Constitution, regardless of what we were learning about coronavirus, and decided that we all were required to wear a muzzle on our face. A muzzle on our face. And it doesn't, you know, it didn't matter that it made no sense. What mattered is that they were telling us everybody knew it. Everybody knew it, and they preferred to ignore it. How about that? I have this wonderful new studio in my house in Texas. Texas is such a small state, so I'm not going to tell you where, but it's Texas. I moved from Colorado to Texas, and I have this on my bulletin board, and I've let you know this. I've repeated this because it is so important. It is a post, a woman with a mask on her face with a chain around her ear and a padlock. It's by Turi Carpo. Don't know who that is, but I clipped it out, stuck it on my bulletin board. And I didn't need this to validate what I think about it, because the psyop of masks was awfully clear to me. And here's what it says. It says, did you know that 2,300 years ago, long before Islam, we're just talking about Islam a little while ago, Arabs discovered that forcing people to cover their nose and their mouths broke their will and individuality and depersonalized them. It made them submissive. That's why they imposed on every woman the mandatory use of a fabric over her face. Then Islam turned it into the woman's symbol of submission to Allah, the man owner of the harem and the king. Modern psychology explains it that without a face, we don't exist as independent beings. The child looks in the mirror between the ages of 2 and 3 and is discovered as an independent being. The mask is the beginning of deleting individuality. Truer words were never spoken. It never was about the mask. It was about deleting individuality. Now, did you have as strong of feelings about the masks as I did? The number is 844-769-2944. Tell me, did you have such strong feelings about the mask? The minute I heard that there were mask mandates coming, that you had to wear a mask to walk into a store, to do your grocery shopping, to be allowed to engage in commerce, to engage in civil society, to put a rag on your face so that everybody looks alike. I had a visceral reaction to that, as I know a lot of my friends did too. We didn't take to it kindly. Even had it been medically necessary, and Fauci said very clearly at the beginning, you don't need to wear a mask, you know. Now, having been in the healthcare field, the one way that I could see wearing a mask actually makes sense, and guess what? I still get to make that decision. It's interesting how it's just sort of fallen apart, but look how long it took. It was a dress rehearsal for so much more. The one time I could see that it would make sense is if I was making a visit in a nursing home where somebody's resistance was low and they didn't want to be susceptible to my germs or whatever I might be carrying because they have low resistance, then I would be happy out of respect to that person in a nursing home. That's what a mask is for. We're not wearing medical masks, nor are we donning hazmat suits to walk around on the street. We've been living with this lie for well over a year. Stunning to me that we are living with this lie for well over a year. I didn't wear the mask but three times, twice on a plane, which I mentioned, and another for a protest in which I walked in with two other people. And I was wearing gauze with two rubber bands. And then we ripped off our masks and I sang the national anthem. That was the extent of the three times I put a rag on my face. I'm delighted to welcome, we have a caller on the line to chime in here on the Power Hour. Chad in North Carolina, you're on the Power Hour with Karen Cataline. What's on your mind?
Yes, ma'am. You won't get much argument out of me or debate, but I was trying to think of something to call in about that would be worth the time. But you pretty
it's
much
worth
named
it. That
it
you called.
The...
yeah, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So, you know, the problem with me was the idea that people had to wear masks and they're still using, community officials to promote getting shots, which as far as I'm concerned, should never have been allowed. It was illegal. And, you have to ask, why are they being allowed to do it? And I've been looking at this for quite a while now, and you've had John Singleton on the Power Hour in the past as a guest, and he explained it as best as I can, as anybody, is that it violates all kinds of laws.
Well, what about body integrity, Chad? What about the whole notion that to be forced by your government to be injected with a mysterious substance that's an experimental drug? Many people have many opinions about this vaccine and what's in it, but it doesn't matter because if the government wants to force it on 330 plus million people despite their own personal free will and their medical condition and their medical situation, I mean, who in their right mind, that's the operative word, right mind wouldn't be suspicious of that? What do you think is the reason they want to do that, Chad?
I don't really have a good answer for that other than it seems to me that the people who have been, you know, in charge of running the system, as it were, it looks to me like they don't have any other answer other than, you know, we've had for, I don't know, 10, 15 years now, I've been listening to them talk about how we've got this exploding deficits, all kinds of monetary issues, and talking about how we're going to have a one-world currency. Well, my suspicion, and I think there's probably a lot of evidence that some of which I don't even know of yet, would support it, that the one world currency is going to be the, or they're trying to make it the techno-feudalism, to use Dr. Dennis Cuddy's, so I mean, you think of it, you've got all this technology overlapping every aspect of your life. We use it every day. It's very convenient.
Yes.
And of course
that's what I was trying to say, is that Laura Logan on Fox News recently said something that stuck with me. She said, we are the most surveilled society in history. They're watching us, they're monitoring us, and to what end? I need to let you go, Chad, from North Carolina, but I'm so grateful that you decided to call in and participate. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So people are starting to call in always. I love that. So the number, we're going to go up until the top of the hour. We're talking about masks. We're talking about, if you have a thought on our guests, we talked a little bit about Trump and Trump hatred and what that's about, masks, and also the wonderful Azra Nomani and Daniel Pearl. So we've got a host of subjects on the table, or you can bring one. And we're going to welcome Mary in Missouri to the show. Welcome, Mary. Thanks for calling the Power Hour. You're with Karen Cataline.
Thank you. You're so insightful. I would suggest one more step of mask wearing, which is infiltration. And it's been exposed on Miles Mathis updates when he does these genealogies of these, he calls them Phoenicians. They've been running this infiltration thing since Sumeria. And these are the Phoenician, Venetian banksters, and they get in just like they blew up the liberals that were forced free speech, and now they're the big censorship movement.
So are you using this as an explanation as to why the left has made such an about-face, everything, including the ACLU and everything?
Yes.
Women's rights. First, women can be a Navy SEAL. Then they're hothouse flowers. Then they can be pummeled by 250-pound male wrestlers as long as those male wrestlers say they're women. I mean, what the heck is going on, Mary?
Well, Constance Cumby described it, what, decades ago, tracking the New Age infiltration into the churches. And she said every organization has been infiltrated. She particularly said, beware, Catholics. And then it hit the fan. So it's been their tactic, though, with this Miles Mathis tracking the genealogies of these royal phonies, that all these cousins in these projects are related. So they go, I'm the good guy, I'm the bad guy, they'll control. They're the man in the middle that sticks us on each other, that turns us against each other. They love that man in the middle thing. And, for example, Karl Marx and his royal wife, Baroness Jenny Marx, was the biggest project going right now, especially because they're just sabotaging on behalf of these Phoenician, Venetian royal banksters that have infiltrated everybody. Oh, my buddy wouldn't do that. My church, my whatever organization it is. My belief in liberty of the liberals blown. They blow up everybody. They were horrible with the Jews in Poland, the Council of Four Lands. They blew them up. That was hundreds of years ago.
You sound like you are a reader. I don't think I understand the Phoenicians and the Phoenicians and all that, but you sound like reading up on this.
The only word we need is Amorite. It's Genesis 14. God makes his covenant with Abraham, and then he says, I'm not going to withdraw these Amorites and their cousins from persecuting you yet. And, well, they've been at it ever since. and they're all cousins. They're Semitic.
So
they speak a Semitic language, but they're not Jews. They're the foe of the Jews.
Who are the foe of the Jews?
These people that, in ancient history, this is so old.
Ah.
They're the Amorites.
Mary, let me ask you this. Before I let you go, I got to let you go in a second, but I'm so glad you called. With the current situation, we see things that I don't think any of us ever thought we'd see in this lifetime. A full frontal attack on our liberty, on our country. What do you see? I know this is a huge question. What do you see as the way out of this mess? And what can we do, in your opinion, to fight back so that we do not lose our country, which was founded
judge
upon liberty?
Judge by actions. Judge by actions. I don't care what your label is, but whatever group you pretend to be because you have infiltrated it, judge by actions. And if that's who my neighbor is that actually lifts the finger and helps me, somebody that works on behalf of life and blessing. And for this, we have to pray for discernment, but it doesn't help to look at these royal cousin genealogies.
Okay.
Of Miles
so
Massett.
I think I understand. Thank you so much for calling Mary. Mary from Missouri. Look at that. We went from North Carolina to Missouri. Thank you, Mary, for calling. I think that she's on to something really important here, and that is people are professing things. They're professing that you're supposed to think or act a certain way by virtue of something you were born with. In fact, this gives me a great excuse to tell you about what I think about my name, Karen. Okay. Actually, I was named after Karen in the Mickey Mouse Club because I was born in the late 50s. And so it's actually before, I don't remember the Mickey Mouse Club, but my mother did. And there was a Karen and a Sharon. And I was either going to be named Karen or Sharon. Now, I have known black Karens in my life, but the going theory is that if you're a Karen, whether you're named Karen or not, a Karen is a middle-aged white woman who complains a lot, right? Now, I not only had nothing to do with my name, but I cop to that. I am a middle-aged woman who complains a lot. I have a show called Spouting Off, for heaven's sake. But my question is, why does the person have to be white? Why are you taking an arbitrary name and giving it a personality as if there's nothing they can do about it and it's not a choice in the matter? And thirdly, because the left and the trendy left always has to add race to everything, including tying your shoes and waking up in the morning, it's nonsensical. If they had chosen a name like Shaniqua to mock and bully as the name of a person who complains a lot, wouldn't that have been racist? Well, of course it would. And let's go even a step further, as long as I'm being a Karen and complaining a lot. And that is, don't they want to put down and make and take out of fashion the notion that you can complain, that you can argue, that you can send your food back if you ordered it rare and it came back well done? So now we're going to mock people who say what they want, people who say what's on their mind, people who are, I don't know, who don't censor themselves. Now the name Karen has kind of evolved into this notion that they're going to hold you to a certain standard. Well, initially, that was not my understanding of what Karen was. So, sure, I have a sense of humor, I guess, about my name and most everything else, but there's something pretty insidious and collectivist about constantly judging and classifying and categorizing people, stereotyping people based on things, as Tucker says, that they can do nothing about. And remember that the left always does, always accuses others of exactly what they're getting ready to do. 8 to 10 years ago, maybe a little more, they were always talking about racist stereotypes. Remember that? Racist stereotypes. Well, isn't choosing to mock somebody because of the name they were given at birth, saying that they were a white middle-aged woman who complains a lot, that's my definition of it, I don't know what exactly they meant, isn't that a racist stereotype? Well, you're darn right it is. Anyway, I gotta wrap this up, and I'm glad. Thank you to Todd. Thank you to Catherine. Thank you to everybody at the Power Hour who invited me to sit in on this Friday. I wish you not only a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and I'm sorry we didn't get to really talk about it. Memorial Day is for the people who died protecting this country. So please say a prayer for them. And thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in at KarenCataline.com for Spouting Off. I am out of here.
Who is moving on the water? Who's holding up the moon? Who is peeling back the darkness with the burning light of noon? Who's standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? Bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Possession of, He is Yahweh. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.